Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, coming up in this evening's programme, I'll be focusing on two sectors, forestry and potatoes. My guest is Charlie Doherty, who has been involved in both these areas and is well positioned to comment on the current situation. I began by talking to him about the announcement in the past week of a €200 million fund designed to revitalise Irish forestry. What are the implications, and will there be opportunities out there for Donegal farmers and landowners to develop forestry on their lands? First of all, let's just recap on an announcement last week, which on the surface of things points to a massive expansion in terms of forestry, but very much state-led with culture.
Well, culture is one of them. It's an EIB, European Investment Bank, along with Irish Strategic Investment Fund, and there's a company in Finland as well involved in it. There's €90 million going to culture. And as well as it's not actually, well, it's a fund, like, but it's actually a loan. So, like, it's culture is going to borrow €90 million that has to be paid back sometime for planting forest that has been harvested and put in roads and walkways and stuff like that. And the other €112 million is going to this, Stosses, is the name, is a Finnish company, who plan to come into the country to buy the harvesting rights of private individuals, you know. They're looking at a portfolio of 44,500 acres, which is a huge amount of acres, you know. The ideas behind it is, like, you know, if you have a plantation 15, 20 years old and the premium's running out, like, that you could forward sell this timber so that, you know, you get more of a premium each year. You get a certain amount of money each year from this company, and for that, they would look after the forest and do the thinnings in it and the clear felling and whatever. I know it would take 15, 20 years, and then they would replant it, and then that the forestry goes back to yourself then, like, you know, after 20 years. And it would suit certain people, you know, people that's elderly, maybe have no way of working it and maybe can't wait that 15 or 20 years to get the end, the final crop that they would get so much money each year. But, you know, within the AFA and Donegal Woodlanders, we would prefer if the forester would, you know, take involvement in the forest themselves, like, you know, and realize the potential value of the trees and maybe actively go on himself and do work on it. You know, the farmers there, and they've, you know, a lot of sheep and a lot of cattle, and you know the way they are at the moment now, they're not that great. But, you know, they might have a plantation that they're doing nothing with, and, you know, if they realize the potential, you know, it's another added value, another income coming in that they could, you know, bring it down the chain, like, you know, and it'd be more money coming in. That's what we would prefer. Now, the other thing about that, you know, it'd be impact on the rural areas as well, like, you know, a lot of them plantations going into this one big portfolio, and it's outside the country. I mean, the government's they've announced it and they're endorsing it, like, you know, but I wish they would put more emphasis on, like, the farmers and foresters themselves to get them. I mean, we could do with a bit of funding ourselves to get us up, maybe get a bit of harvesting equipment to, you know, an incentive to get farmers themselves to go and get in there and work there as well, you know.
Indeed. Here we have again bigger players coming in, and there is a danger that the smaller guy is getting squeezed, and maybe an element of selling out. And it's a difficult one for the IFA, because we've had situations like in Leitrim, for one example, where forestry, whilst there are benefits, it can lead to difficulties in communities and even divide people locally.
I can do, yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, there's farmers there maybe that want to buy land for farming, and, you know, the problem down there is, you know, all of a sudden to discover the land's been sold to forest and had an opportunity to buy it, and different, like, there's all kinds of issues going on down there. And then there's, like, the thing has been opened up to non-farmers can plant and get premiums and stuff like that, and even people outside the country can do it. You know, it's taken away from the farmer. Forestry is a very high capital cost, and, you know, maybe it's difficult for a farmer, although they would have the land, all right, you know, it's hard to get that capital to get going, you know. But No, certainly there's a lot of issues down there. And I can see this being part of the same thing. And I can see the actually this is the area where the guys are going to be looking for, because there's huge growth in that them areas, that Leitsham Roscommon area there, where the trees are really going well, you know, and I can see that's where they're looking for. So maybe there'll be more problems down the line. I'm not sure now, but hopefully not.
Many people may not be aware that if we look at the European Union, Ireland is actually one of the countries with the least area that's under forest. And well, Germany, in our minds, we think it's a big industrial nation, but they're more than double the area that is afforested compared with us. What's the situation in Donegal? I mean, how much scope is there out there 20, 30 years' time from now? Are we going to see an awful lot more forestry?
Well, a problem with Donegal is we're stuck with environmental restrictions between acid sensitive and pearl mussel and all the sort of areas. Ireland, Donegal has actually been closed down, which is not a good thing either. The trouble is, well, you're on about Germany, and that they're at it for long enough. And, you know, there's two or three generations or far more. And, you know, once you get into that rotation, you know, it goes well, like, you know, but I suppose for Ireland, it's quite new. The first plantations that has been planned by the private is only like 20 years old, and that's only coming on stream now. And, you know, it's getting people to, you know, getting them organized. And, you know, so it's like you get out to plant your first field of spuds that you never planted before. You know, you're scratching your head. How are you going to go about it? You know, this is where we're in the position with the forestry, you know, and we're hoping that that's, you know, if you get a bit of incentive from the government, that we would generate from that, like, you know, in 20 years' time, actually, forestry will be quite strong. And, you know, I wouldn't be against planting forestry at all, but I would be hoping that it's more farmer forestry, like, you know, and that's the way it is in Germany as well. Like, you know, the farmer, he's got his cattle and his sheep, and he's got his forest for his extra income as well. And to see other people coming in, like we've lost our fishing rights and, you know, the wind farms, and you're chatting about all that sort of stuff, and is this another thing that's going? I don't know. Well, hopefully not, like, but it'd be great to see farmers getting in there and going on it. But there's a knowledge problem there where they need to learn, you know, there's a big learning process. And once we get past that, you know, it shouldn't be a problem, I would think.
Tell us a little bit more about the Donegal Woodland Owners Society Limited and the reasoning behind its establishment and where it's going at the moment.
Well, it was set up like to get foresters together to learn from each other or different things to do. We have 160 members at the minute. At the minute, actually, we're working on with the government a knowledge transfer group, so we're it's a pilot project that the government's pushing out. It hasn't been finalised yet, like, so we're still working on it, but I would say it should be announced fairly shortly. Chag is to be involved in as well. The Donegal Woodland Owners Society actually will be facilitating in the group. There's three, it's a pilot project, so Donegal's one of them. There's one in County Clare. There's one in Limerick, Tipperary border, so it is. So there'll be, let's say, five groups we're hoping to put through. These will be open to woodland owners, Donegal woodland owner members and non-members. And there'll be a few pounds for the foresters coming to entice them to come. And, you know, just bring them together and learn from each other, and as well as that with a professional forester. To, you know, they have their own forest, and what should they be doing with their forest? And just to bring it forward, like a lot of guys, maybe they know they need to be doing something, but they just don't know how to go about it. And hopefully this will be something that'll help there along the way.
And just before we leave forestry, what's the market out there at the moment like for wood as fuel? I mean, we've seen our local petrol stations, local guy bags of logs in the last few years, definitely more available. Is much of that been sourced locally?
Yeah, more, I would say it'll all be sourced locally, and it has a great potential as well. Like, because, you know, there's still we've a long way to go, because there's still an awful lot of coal being sold and that, like, and, you know, timber, if it's dried down properly, I think people are getting more organized, and there's a better product out there as well, and with kindling and all that there, there's people investing in drying facilities to get it dried down properly, and that's all helping. Like, and you know, if we can have a better product out there and doing it well, you know, it's just wasting the coal and that, and that should all be helped.
Also, just looking at a recent announcement that the first tranche of annual tax-free forestry premium payments for 2017 are being issued to forestry owners, so no doubt that's welcome, and it does make a big difference to the man on the ground.
It definitely is. That's coming there now at the minute. That was for anybody who planted the trees. I mean, it's tax-free as well. It is money, I suppose, when they plant it, just to keep them going until they start harvesting that. So, I mean, that's always welcome, that money. Only for that, there wouldn't be as much ground planted at all. So definitely well, welcome, all right. If you apply online, you get that money first. So I urge foresters, if they don't apply online, they should, because they get it earlier. If not, they don't get it till April or May, you know.
Now, you've also been involved for many years in the potato side of things, still very much involved as Donegal IFA Potato Committee Chairman. It's been a difficult few years, and indeed, when we spoke to you before, certainly questions about how much more the acreage might drop after a couple of difficult years. What's the current state of play, and what's the outlook for those people still involved in the sector in Donegal?
Yeah, well, this year actually wouldn't be so bad. It's probably, as all the sectors go, it actually wouldn't be so bad. The acres had come back. Well, acres actually went up slightly this year, but with the poor growing season, yields had gone back. And it was the same in England and Europe, which helped the whole thing. Like, you know, the rooster would be moving quite well at the minute. The pink star would be under a bit of pressure. Like, the rooster seems to be gaining ground all the time. And the white potatoes actually would be quite good on account of England being scarce as spuds as well. So all in all, it's not a bad year for spuds, you know.
Now, there has been some difficulties. One supermarket chain had been promoting free carrots and free spuds, and this comes up periodically and below cost selling, but ultimately it does no good for the farmer.
No, certainly not, Chris. That was going the last couple of weeks. One of the supermarkets came out. Now, they did suspend it there last weekend. If they pushed them hard on it, and they did, we managed to get around them. They did suspend it. But, you know, it's something that we don't like at all. I mean, it's great for the consumer. They're getting free spuds and free carrots or whatever. But in the long term, it's not sustainable at all. You know, if you can imagine yourself, Chris, you know, if your boss comes into you next week, you know, tomorrow, and says, well, listen, Chris, we've got somebody coming in who's going to work for free for a week. Could you lay off for a week there? And, you know, maybe the three or four other fellows allowing you. And, you know, he'd come in and he'd work for free. And you never know, he might even work for 2 or 3 weeks for free. And, you know, you wouldn't be happy, Chris. You know, so you wouldn't, you know. And it's the same position, like, you know, the supermarkets are out there bringing in the free spuds, and they're buying the spuds, and they're doing it. But those same supermarkets were supplied by other farmers, and they had a lie out for a week, like, 'cause there's no point in them going on trying to sell spuds at 2, 3, 4 euros or whatever when they can be got bought for free. And, you know, the people employed, and what do? They just have to sit out, like, you know. It's not good, like, you know. And the same with the vegetables, you know, you have the, you know, the your carrots. The vegetable end would be very fickle at the minute, like, you know, there's not many growers left. If you even take, I'm not sure it's the broccoli or the cauliflower. There's actually only one commercial grower left in the country. You know, and for, let's say, something like supervisor to come out and say they're going to do that on whatever, on that product, it could be enough just to put that guy to the wall. And then we have to go to England and Europe for all our products then. And you see the way Spain is there with the bad weather, and there's a shortage all of a sudden, and there's a shortage of vegetables. You know, if we have to depend on, you know, getting our beef from South America or grain from Russia, or, you know, or soybean from America, the way the world's going at the minute now, you know, we need to be looking more at local produce, even if it is costing a bit more. You know, at least it'll be there, you know, because when things go wrong, you know, every country is for themselves after that, you know. But No, it's just, like I say, that vegetable land would be pretty fickle enough, you know. It wouldn't take much to put people out of business.
On a brighter note, there has been increased investment in marketing on the potato side of things. We've had more competition, pasta, changing eating habits. We've National Potato Day, we've potato promotion weeks, and there has been an increase again in consumption.
There has this year as well. It proves it works. That was a European fund and with the Packers and the IFA as well pushed it. Now, it was a small, as advertising goes, it was a small enough package, but it even showed, you know, it was well enough money, well enough spent, and the Kantar results were out there the last 2 years that actually it showed. As the first 2 years in, I don't know, the last 20 years, it was really sliding down, dropping all the time, and it was the first 2 years that it actually started to rise. I think it took a 9% increase, you know, was it last year, like, so. You know, it does prove that it works, and hopefully that's something we can push forward, you know, after this, that, you know, if we keep advertising, then we can, you know, say to the farmers that, you know, this is something we need to do to, because it obviously works, or the rest of the companies wouldn't be, spending money on it.
And finally, in terms of potatoes and current market prices, steady enough at the moment?
Like I say, not too bad. Like I say, the pinks would be under a bit of pressure. Now, the rooster, I would say, you know, going quite well. That peeling trade is increasing all the time, you know, where, you know, there's more people out eating even during the day and stuff like that. That's increasing, you know, all the time. Maybe the bag trade would be losing a bit of ground, you know, and the pinks would be losing a bit of ground. But no, all in all, it looks like it's, you know, going to be a fairly good year this year, right?
Charlie Darley, Donegal IFA Potato Committee Chairman and also Chairman of the Donegal Woodland Owners Society Limited. On now to the livestock prices. A cattle steer base at €3.80 to €3.85 a kilo. Heifers €3.90 to €3.95 a kilo. Young bulls €3.65 to €3.90 a kilo. And cows €3.10 to €3.50 a kilo. A strong competition for finished stock at the marts. The lamb price update, prices holding firm at €4.65 to €4.75 a kilo, with tops of €4.80 a kilo to 23 kilos, numbers tightening. Well, that's it for tonight's programme. Many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.